but just want to say that, again, that I'm excited to be here with you today. A lot has happened in our lives since we were here a month and a half ago or a little more, candidating, not knowing for sure if we were going to get the nod or if you're going to say, let's move on to the next one. But we're happy that everything went as it did and that we're here. At times, that month and a half seemed like it was taking forever. At times, it was amazing how quickly it was going. And it was filled with a lot of emotion for us. There was a lot of joy looking ahead to what was in store coming here to Little Falls, but also a lot of sadness saying goodbye to our church family in Lund and to the friends that we've made over the last 8 years there. But I think that through all of this time of transition, especially at the end, and I'll get to the slides in just a second, I think that I've felt, it's okay, it was fine. But I think the thing that I've felt through it all is just an amazing sense of love and being loved by so many people. My parents have come, and Kim's dad was with us to help us in the transition of moving. They came to our house in Lund and helped pack up many things and then helped with the move. They stayed around here to help us unload and get organized for a while. I know Kim's mom, even though she wasn't able to be with us in body, she was with us in spirit and was praying and praying for us and encouraging us through the whole thing. Our church family in Lund, and you can show the next couple pictures, we were going by U-Haul. We had very little understanding of what that would mean for how much time it would take to pack up. And so on Sunday morning, the Sunday before we were leaving, I said, hey, if anyone is able, come on over and help us. And so we had a good group turnout. They carried heavy furniture, they loaded the truck and played around a little bit in the truck. But that day, they came early in the morning. It took 7.5 hours to load everything up and get everything ready so that we could drive here. So an amazing amount of love from them that they, while we were leaving, gave of their time and their effort to help us move. That wasn't an indication that they were happy to get us out of there, I hope, but amazing love. When we came here, and I am sorry I don't have a lot of moving in slides because I was busy running around telling everyone what to do, but I don't have any moving in slides, but we were received, and so all that stuff that was loaded onto the truck, many of you were here ready to go to unload it and bring it into our house. And so while it took a long time on the front end, you guys did it in record time, and I think it was only 1.5 to 2 hours of taking it in, but still a lot of work and a lot of carrying heavy things. But you showed us your love by showing up that night and helping us move in. Since the move-in, and you can go to the next slide, this is all that's left, but we've been getting a lot of food, a lot of notes, a lot of visits of just you wanting to care for us, wanting to make sure that our transition is going smoothly, that we know that you are available for us, that we know that you're able to help in any way that we need. And so we've appreciated that so much and have felt so loved and welcomed by you. And so I just want to thank you for the love that you've shown us already in these first few weeks. As I have been thinking about all this love that has been lavished on us through this transition, it's made me think more and more about the love that God has for us. Your love shown to us has drawn me to God's love. And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit about God's love with you. And I want to do that focusing in a little bit on Ephesians 1 through 8. And so, or 2, 1 through 8. And this is what Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians. He says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and his kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Three things that I want to, or that struck me as I read through this this passage, as I studied it, and as I thought about God's love. The first is that God's love is unconditional. In our world today, there's a general notion that people are mostly good, that really, when it comes down to it, we're all decent. And sure, there's a few bad apples, a few people that get into trouble. But at our core, we are good people. But in Ephesians, we get a far different picture of where we are without God. In verses 1 through 3, it says that we're disobedient, controlled by selfish desires, we're rebellious towards God, we're subject to God's anger and wrath. And it goes so far as to say we're dead without him. If we look at it as God is our creator and we are his creation, we're just not functioning right. We're not working. God made us for a purpose, and that purpose isn't being accomplished without him. You would think that that would mean getting kicked to the curb, that we would be thrown in the scrap heap, but that's not the way that God works. Even though we fail, he loves us. Even though we turn our back on him, he loves us. Even though we so often think only of ourselves and forget all about him, he still loves us. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life. Romans 5:8 says it another way, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Last week, Pastor Dan looked at the story of the prodigal son. This image of the father's love for his child, an image of God's love for us. That while the son took his inheritance, more or less cursed his father and wanted to live life on his own, squandering all his money and coming back with nothing, the father was there to receive him. The father was there with open arms to not just receive him back as a servant, but to receive him back as his child. God's love is a love that waits with open arms for his people to come back to him. Now, it's important to keep in mind that to say God's love is unconditional is only partly true, or it can be maybe misconstrued a little bit. To say God's love is unconditional doesn't mean that God is okay with our bad behavior. It doesn't mean that he's okay with us living however we want. It's not a love that's do whatever feels good kind of love. But it is a love that says no matter what you've done, no matter where you are, no matter how distant you feel, God is always there to receive you back. It's unconditional in that as soon as you come to him, he is there. Psalm 86:5 says, O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. This is the kind of love that God has for us. You know, in our human nature, I think we tend to be more quick to look at other people and try and determine whether or not people deserve to receive our love. We see if they're good enough for us. We question whether or not they've done enough good things. But God's love isn't like that. It's not based on whether we deserve it or not. In fact, his love, he loves us in spite of the fact that we don't deserve it at all. And again, we see in Ephesians 2:1-3 this very clearly. But in his grace, God meets us where we are. In his grace, he forgives us, even when we've failed. And he shows us an amazing, unconditional love as he welcomes us back as his children. But as amazing as this is, God's love goes even farther. God's love goes beyond just an acceptance of his fallen or failing creation. God's love is also sacrificial. In Ephesians 2:5, we read, even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. If we focus solely on God's unconditional love for us and his willingness to meet us in our failure, it can be easy to take that love for granted. We might start to think that his love isn't that big a deal. Or more likely, we'd be tempted to think that our sin isn't really that big a deal. But to do that would miss an important aspect of God's love, and that is that it came at a very high cost. It came, we receive forgiveness through Christ, through his death for us. The death and resurrection of Jesus are central to our faith as Christians. Nothing so vividly reveals to us the extent of God's love. That not only would he love us while we were still wallowing in our sin, but that he would actually pay the penalty for that sin. That he would actually die in our place so that we could have life. This is almost unthinkable. And really, as far as faiths go in the world, unheard of. You can look at all the other religions, and they would say, it's ridiculous to think that your God would die for your sin. But that is just the God we have. A God who loves us so much that he would die in our place. But that's, again, not all, because the sacrifice wasn't just in his death. The sacrifice was in his life as well. As we read the Gospels, we see Jesus, God made flesh. He gave up everything for us. He gave up his comfort. While on earth, he was more or less homeless, dependent on everyone for his daily needs. He gave up his power, coming to earth, becoming human, while he had the power to heal, while he had the power to forgive, while he had the power to cast out demons. He got no recognition for it. He accepted the role of a humble servant. He also gave up his reputation. Rather than being seen as righteous as the sinless man that he was, he let people look at him and call him a sinner, call him a drunkard. And because of it, he endured being continually misunderstood, being abused, being mocked, being rejected. And he did all this for us. For the very ones who caused it all, that were responsible for it happening. He endured the pain, he endured the heartache because of his love for you and me. It's a love that would say, while dying on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God's love for us, displayed in the forgiveness and new relationship that we receive, isn't something that comes easy. It has to be achieved through sacrifice. But it's sacrifice that has a purpose. It brings us to the final thing that I want to share this morning, that God's love is transformational. Ephesians 2, 5b through 6 says, "It's only by God's grace that you've been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus." When God met us in our sin, when God sacrificed himself for our sake, he did it so that we could be changed, so that we could be new and get new life out of the deal. When we come to him, he doesn't leave us where we are, but all of a sudden he transforms us into what we were meant to be. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has come." When we come to God, we become his sons and his daughters. When we come to God, we become pure and perfect in his sight. When we come to God, we are united with Christ. And he sees us as that, rather than seeing us as we still are. Each one of you could say, "I'm not perfect." Each one of you could look at your life and say, "I still struggle with sin. I still fall short of what God wants for me." But God sees you as his child. He sees you as righteous, as perfect. He sees you as he sees Christ. It's kind of like, kind of works like a show that I started watching a little bit last year on Netflix called Rehab Addict. I don't know if any of you ever have watched it. But it's about a woman, Nicole Curtis, and she goes and buys homes that are just falling apart, that look terrible. But Nicole Curtis, when she buys that home, she doesn't see that home as it is. She sees that home as it will be. She knows that there's a process, that there's going to be peeling off of the layers of wallpaper, of the paint, of the broken structure. There's going to be peeling away of what's broken so that it can be built up into something that oftentimes goes beyond what its former glory was, making it a beautiful home, a place that anyone would want to live, a place that can be useful again. It's amazing to watch, and we love, as a nation, love to watch these stories. I mean, that's more and more shows are coming out like this and have come out for the last many years about and useless and making it into something useful. This is what God does with us. He loves us so much that instead of seeing our sin, instead of seeing our uselessness, he sees what we will be, what we can be. He sees us as he meant us to be. And so he starts the process of coming alongside of us, of peeling away those layers of sin, peeling away that hurt, that the things that kept us distant from him. He starts to repair the damage, and he creates something amazing, something useful, something glorious in us. But the whole time, he doesn't look at the process. He looks at the end result. That's the kind of love that God has for you and me. When we think about all this love, when we marvel in the amazing love of God, there are two things that we do. One is that it leads us to worship him, that it leads us to celebrate what he's done and to live in a way that reflects how much we're loved. To not feel, to not let guilt overcome us, to not let our failure overcome us, but to start to live out, or to live our lives as God sees us. But it does another thing that's maybe the tougher part. And this is kind of what your reflection questions will lead you to consider as you look at those later today and throughout the rest of this week. But when we receive that kind of love from God, it calls us to give that kind of love to other people. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2 says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." So what Paul is saying is, just as God has loved you, just as you've received that love, then you give to others. Give love unconditionally. Not accepting bad behavior or sin, but being willing to receive back without condition those who come to you for help and for forgiveness. To live sacrificially, putting your desires, your potentially your comfort, potentially your reputation, potentially your good, setting that aside for the good of another. Living transformationally, loving transformationally in a way that helps to, or that sees people as they will be, rather than getting frustrated with who they are and how slowly it takes for them to become that image of what you would like them to ultimately be and how you'd like them to live. You know, there's people in our lives that desperately need to know God's love, and he's given us love so that we can reveal his love to them through our actions, through the way that we treat them. Just as you have shown your love to us, my family, there's a whole town out there for you to show love to. People that maybe don't get a whole lot of love all the time. God is calling you to remember the love that you've received. And he's calling you to walk out these doors this morning and to look for those people in your lives that you can show that same kind of love to. And so will you pray with me as we close? Father, we thank you that you loved us more than we could ever imagine, more than we could ever know. And we thank you that even though we don't deserve it, even though we just don't do anything that would warrant such love, you did so much to make us part of your family. You did so much to make us, or to restore us back to what you had made us to be. And while we're not complete, you are patient with us, and you walk with us through the process as we become more and more like you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would remind us of the love that you have for us. and that you would help us to see others with your eyes, with that same kind of love, that we might share you with others through the way that we love them. Not on our terms, but on your terms, in your way. That's not always easy, but we know that when we are focused on you, you will help us to love in that kind of way. And so, Lord, we just pray that you give us a heart for our community, that you give us a heart for others, that we would be your hands and feet to show love to all those who need it. And so we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we get to celebrate together God's love for us as we come to the